Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Joe.
And welcome to another edition of Orbiting the Ghost Planet, a episode-by-episode discussion podcast about Space Ghost Coast to Coast. This week, we watched the episode, Season 1, Episode 7, Punch.
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 Falcon Punch.
Punch?
No, Punch?
Punch.
Punch.
Yeah. So that's why Chips came up, because it's Poncherello again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember with Maltar Poncherello and Zorak Poncherello and Space Ghost. Yeah, Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right. Now that you're up to date on that.
So this episode started off with some live action shots of the Vatican.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Vatican?
I have not been to the Vatican.
Me neither, but I've been to church a few times.
Close enough. You're at least Catholic.
I mean, Vatican is like where church lives, right?
That's where it was
born. Did you almost say where church was born?
No, I was going to say, and then I was like, no, it wasn't. So I can't really wasn't. Say that.
It's its own country, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Like Luxembourg.
Oh, I know. But yeah, so I guess Space Ghost had a magic show there.
Yeah. For which he brought Zorak along?
Yeah. I mean, you need an assistant when you're doing a magic show. Yeah.
He could have been like a roadie.
I don't think so.
He could have been the assistant. Like,
yeah.
Put Zorak in a box, cut him in half?
Yeah.
Metal box to yourself?
Yeah.
Wait. Spiritus Spatium? Ego Sum?
Yeah, like how he was just like saying like random Latin phrases, and then it was putting subtitles that were not what they mean, but were like...
Yep. Well, he was just saying,
script.
Listen, they had to put the story in there somewhere, and no, as we've seen, they're not afraid of putting story in the subtitles.
I love it.
And then
great.
They started speaking English, and kept the subtitles, just went backwards.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, this is an inclusive thing. It's not just
totally accommodating
for English speakers.
Yeah. So, yeah, he finished his magic show, and then he jumped in his Phantom Cruiser and headed back to the soundstage.
First time we've seen use of the Phantom Cruiser, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
And, man, that soundtrack, that tape that he's got going
smooth
on.
Smooth jazz track,
oh,
yeah.
I love it. I love it.
That's... Yeah, especially because they kept cutting between the opening and the yep. Cruiser music.
Again, subverting the opening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that like a smooth jazz, or is that closer to a Muzak? That is something that you might hear while walking down the aisle
at
a supermarket.
I'd call that smooth jazz.
It's very easy listening radio for waiting rooms and commercial backgrounds alike.
Yep. So he gets back, he makes fantastic time and gets to the stage right as the show starts.
Yep.
But then he realizes...
Moltar trying to keep the show going along, even though nobody's there.
Just, yeah.
I'm going to start the intro now, and the die is cast.
Yep. And then he gets there and introduces the band and realizes... He's left Zorak on the statue in the Vatican.
Zorak's all right with that.
Yeah, no, he's
got
ruling the world.
Ant-humans.
Yeah.
And what exactly is he trying to feed them? He's got a whole spiel going on. I don't know if that's like, it's kind of like Revelations, or is it supposed to be like
a backstory?
No, he was
referring, that was Exodus. He was referring to the Swarm of Locusts.
Okay, it was specifically like Exodus. Okay.
Yep.
But, like, Swarm of Locusts, and then on a third day of... So, Swarm of Locusts, Mantis was born. And later on in the episode, we do actually hear them finally address this and clarify it.
Yeah.
That even though they were talking about Zorak as a locust,
mm-hmm.
which I think he even joined in on calling himself a locust,
mm-hmm.
They say, no, he is a Mantis, Lokar is a locust. Now, we have not seen Lokar yet.
Yeah.
But Lokar is being pulled from the old show, and eventually he will be making an appearance here on Space Ghost. In... A bit. A little bit.
A little bit.
Give it some time.
Mm-hmm. We also got a little bit of Moltar. Just as he's flipping his channels to watch things while the show is going on.
Yeah, he's
some nice shots of lava there.
It's the lava network. They don't say that now, but... So that
as narrated by Mickey Mouse?
Well, I... Sounds like that's more George Lowe, the voice of Space Ghost.
Well, but, no duh, but like...
It's weird. That could just be sort of a dark take on a, what do you call it?
Like, that
like
was
a TLC kind of show.
But it was definitely imitation of Mickey Mouse.
I guess.
It was
high-pitched, and it was, oh, yeah.
That
yeah,
was
the
Mickey Mouse.
Sure, all right,
yeah.
Fine.
Like, when you're doing a Mickey Mouse imitation, that's the voice you do.
Well, you gotta do some kind of voice or something like that. I don't know.
It was just great because it was, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, the idea of Moltar just watching Lava and the Lava Network, that also...
And he just sighed and went, home.
Yeah. Have you seen his control room?
It was great.
His home, I believe, was the Ovens of Moltar. At least that was his, I really gotta get on those old cartoons. Not that it matters, but... Mm.
So the first guest...
Cindy Geyer.
Yeah, who apparently is a model for romance book covers, which sure. I think is a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah.
Get to dress up as all kinds of things.
Confirmed, said in the episode, she once played a bowl of coleslaw. Listen,
And we get more of Space Ghost hitting on the pretty guests.
Yep. Well, in a weird way, like, hitting, but also...
But still in, like, a completely innocent, naive kind of just...
He wants her impressive. To like him.
Yeah.
So he's just like... And he's doing a good job of actually listening. He's not making assumptions about what she wants. He is trying to listen and trying to be what he thinks she's saying she wants.
Yeah.
What she likes in a guy. Which is strong, but in a gentle kind of way.
Mm-hmm. Has a sensitive side.
Yeah. Frolicking in the leafy glade.
Yeah.
That's what he offered to Schoolie D, I believe. So, it was also that moment where possibly Zorak says, "Are you sure?"
Yeah, what was up with that?
I don't know. But... The entire show stopped as a way of acknowledging by being quiet for a moment and just saying,
What? Okay. Yeah, like, Space Ghost looks at him like, what the heck was that? And Zorak just looks at him like...
I don't know.
It was almost like it wasn't me kind of face.
Yeah, no, because
like,
he looks up into the corner away from the desk. It's like, I don't know, some bitch knowing things. also, a bit more... For some professionalism as we come back from the break after the first guest.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, didn't get it right. Let's start it over and do it again. And new I still don't understand why that's in there. Like, I guess that's supposed to be...
It's funny.
I guess. Sure.
I think
that the whole show is just like a... It's weird because it's sort of a reflection on the way the creators felt about the two at a time. Like, this is just like nonsense and sort of a... This is sort of a mess to begin with. So, we're not going to lie about it. This show is a mess. Mm-hmm. And, there was more. There was more of a sort of Space Ghost sub-vocalizing things, you know, saying it in his head.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, totally, completely scripted. A number of the times that we've heard that happen before, it's been something that could have been pulled out of the record, like a offhanded remark put in. But this time, it's definitely like they definitely have picked up on that they have done that, and so they started writing that into the character. So a sense of, you know, some of the nonsense, you know. Freewheeling stuff that they did anyway, they've thrown now into the show.
Yeah. I liked how when Cindy was saying about her project, her show called Sea Witch, and they just do the whole, like, who's on first thing with Tad not quite catching that the name of it was actually Sea Witch.
Yeah. That's a classic joke. Yeah. I believe there was a children's book that was Witch Went Which Way. Very kind of... I wonder if that actually became a show. That's something I would have a passing curiosity about in that 90s TV shows kind of way.
Also, him and Zora getting distracted from the interview by discussing actors in movies and who was in what movie and correcting each other.
That's the kind of offshoot I like when they just go back and forth. And
you do that all the time, so.
They get kind of nerdy about it. Yeah. Like, they have moments. They're not always just... Somehow that is like a thing that they share. They're both kind of nerdy and can bounce off of each other that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we move on to the Jerky Boys.
All right, what do you know about the Jerky Boys?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, let me catch you up to speed. So Jerky Boys hails from the same place I did, Queens, in about 89.
Yeah.
So that's when the Jerky Boys started, about when I started. So I haven't yet stopped. So... The Jerky Boys were prank callers.
Okay.
That was their deal. They did, like, they were kind of just huge jerks. And they, you know, like, Crank Anchors was on Comedy Central?
No.
Okay, that's a reference that doesn't land with you. No, never mind that. basically, that was just their deal. They would record themselves doing crank calls out to places, or, like, they would put fake ads in the paper and have people call them, and they would do, like, characters and voices.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the way what ended up happening is, like, they were, you know, just a couple of punks. They were making, like, bootleg mixtapes, but eventually they got heard by Howard Stern, and he started putting their, you know, crank calls on air, and so that's where... I guess that's where, like, you know, radio DJs crank calling kind of started.
Okay.
That's very much where that comes from. But, like, these guys were the original, and it kind of kept going, and they got to the point where there was a Jerky Boys movie.
What?
And by all accounts, it was just terrible, which, what do you expect of the Jerky Boys? Like, they're not even a good interview here.
No, they're just kind of assholes.
Yeah. Which, that's what I expect from them, and that's how I like to think of them, because I don't really like to think of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, from their interview, though, we do get the title of the episode, because he makes a comment how, you know...
Punch Space Ghost in the mouth.
Yeah.
Or punch him in the teeth, something like that.
And then Space Ghost comments that punch is one of those words, you just when you say it over and over and over again, it loses all meaning. And then they go back and forth for a while just saying punch.
There are very few words that doesn't work with.
Yeah.
Can you think of any?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sitting here thinking of words that have lost all meaning for me. For me, though, it's in a visual sense, because when I'm making posters and stuff...
Yeah.
And I'm, like, scrolling through fonts to find one that looks really good, and you're just staring at the word, and after a certain number, the letters just don't make sense anymore.
Yeah, they're just like, I spelled this wrong. Yeah. I must have. Wait, I didn't.
it's like, I think that can't be how you spell water, but it is.
I feel like simulation is a word that has never lost meaning. I don't know how many times you say it. Then again, that's not something you say a lot.
Yeah.
But they say punch, and that's why the episode is called Punch.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes on for a while. And even when Space Ghost finally gets back to the guests, Zorak is in the background continuing to punch.
Yeah.
So it's weird, because it's a case of Zorak joining Space Ghost on sort of a childish whim of just like, let's just say punch, because it's a silly thing to say. Punch, punch, punch. And Zorak joins. Normally, Zorak is just like, nah, forget you. You're doing childish stuff. I'm going to go break glass bottles in the back alley or with other, like, Big Brother things.
Well, then he continues it a little bit with Moltar, and then Moltar takes it back to the chips thing.
Yep. With Puncherello.
Yeah.
That's a great, like, World of Warcraft name. Also, there was a moment where Moltar sort of explains the behind-the-scenes processes of the show after the recording to when it goes on air.
I think he was also, like, expanding upon it for the joke. Like, he was making it a joke as well.
Oh, sure.
Just ad-libbing.
I mean, yeah, like, that's... Just wait till we get to the idea of the magic closet. That is, that is television history.
Okay. We have one more guest.
Diane Parkinson?
I have no idea who that is.
I don't know either. She said something. She was like on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
I think
she's one of the Vanna White ladies.
Yeah. I have no idea. She wasn't a very good interview. She didn't really have anything interesting to say. They did a good job of like incorporating her.
Yeah.
To, like, just like reaction shots into what everybody else was saying. But like, it's clear she didn't want to be there and nobody else wanted her to be there either.
And you get another example of Space Ghost being a bit childish, where he hears the word affair and thinks there's a space in there and gets really excited about affair.
Yeah. Yo, fairs are surprisingly commonplace on the Ghost Planet. Like every other week we're having a flipping fair. We'll get to that. Don't worry about it. This is called foreshadowing.
Okay. I just see it as you making bad jokes.
Listen. These are all the same. That's good foreshadowing, is when you don't realize it's being foreshadowed. Because you think it's just a terrible joke that's not working. And then the episode ends, and as a little stinger, we are told that magenta is also a silly word.
It is a pretty silly word.
It's a pretty silly word. So, no guest superpowers were explicitly named in this episode.
No.
But, Cindy Geyer, she, some form of, shape-shifting master of disguise, something like that. That seems like a pretty useful superpower, right?
That'd be along the lines of something I would like to, as a superpower.
Yeah. It's useful, and it sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I want to be, like, a something that has a wheel.
Spin the wheel.
I want to be a wheel. I want to just be a big. I want to be one of those wheel skeletons from Dark Souls. Those guys are jerks and wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's pretty good. And then we had the Jerky Boys. They, again, not explicit, but they maybe had a superpower. They definitely had, like, secret identities. Like,
oh, yeah, totally.
They appeared with their faces completely covered so that you couldn't tell that they were those guys. I don't know if that was a thing, like, I don't know if that was one of their gags, like, you can only know them as characters, you can't know them as the actual
people. Well, I imagine it's like a Banksy thing, like, you don't want to know who the real person is because they're doing slightly obnoxious slash illegal things.
I guess, but everybody knew exactly who they were, and they were just like, whatever. They have like 6 albums of just them doing prank calls. So that is going to do it for this week's discussion. We hope you'll join us again next time when we watch another episode of Space Ghost Coast to Coast and complete another orbit around the ghost planet. You have been listening to Orbiting the Ghost Planet, an Aliku Studios podcast network production. You can visit the show page at alikustudios.net/podcast/ghostplanet. There you can find the rest of our episodes, the RSS feed for the show, and links to our Facebook page where you can talk about this and all the other Aliku Studios shows. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, you can help us by leaving a quick review and rating. Please visit alikustudios.net to learn more about us and what we do. That's OLEETKU.